Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
Since the day that Adam and Eve were forced to leave the Garden of Eden because of their sin against God, all of humanity, throughout all of time, has been born into a fallen world, a world that is full of trouble, a world where there is joy, but at the same time, a world where there is also sorrow, a world where there is triumph, but where there is also tragedy. A world where there are great heights of blessing, but where there are also great depths of pain. And it is no secret that in this world we can expect disappointment, we can expect grief and loss to come our way at times. And that there will be unexpected twists and turns along the way that can leave us devastated. But in addition to these things, we are told in 2 Timothy 3:12 that those of us who belong to Jesus Christ and who desire to live for Him, to live in a way that brings honor and glory to His name, we can expect to suffer persecution for Him. The people of this world hate us. They hate us because they hate Jesus Christ. And so we should not be surprised when we are misunderstood, when we are maligned, and when we are rejected by them and thrown into the fire of affliction. And we might wonder how we can face all of these things victoriously for Christ. And in the passage of Scripture that is before us today, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, Paul shares with us how he did it, how he victoriously endured these things for the sake of Jesus. Paul provides an example for us to follow so that we can face our trials, can face our tribulations and the persecution that comes our way. And you may recall that in verse 8 and in verse 9 of this chapter, Paul told us what life was like for him as a follower of Jesus. His life was a constant barrage of difficulties. He was attacked by everyone in every way. He was under great pressure every day, like a grape that was in a wine press. And many of us know how that feels. And many times he was at a loss to find a way out of those difficulties. He was constantly on the run, trying to stay one step ahead of those who wanted to kill him. Sometimes he was beaten. Sometimes he was whipped. So he was battered and bruised and pummeled with stones and left for dead, enduring extreme suffering for the sake of Jesus. He was also betrayed by those whom he trusted, by his friends, even by those who claimed to belong to Jesus Christ. He was poor. He was weak. He was hungry and thirsty. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he said he was known as the scum of this world, as the dregs of all things, because he belonged to Christ. He was treated as something of no value, as something to be scraped off and thrown away. But despite these things, in 2 Timothy 2:1, Paul said that he had learned to be content. He had learned to be content in these circumstances. And we might wonder how he learned to endure those hardships with joy in his heart. And given the challenges that we face today, that is something that might be of value for us to learn as well. Therefore, he begins in verse 16, even though we are considered to be as sheep to be slaughtered for our faith, as he said at the end of Romans chapter 8, even though this is true, I believe that no one can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And even though we experience distress and persecution and famine and sword, I believe that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us and who gave himself for us. So I endure all things. How did Paul do it? He says, because I keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. For Paul, the reality of Christ in his life, a reality every minute of every day, was the foundation of his life. What does that say to us? Perhaps we need to stop being so preoccupied with ourselves. Perhaps we need to stop being so preoccupied with our difficulties, and perhaps we need to start looking to Jesus, keeping our eyes fixed on him. This is the beginning of how we can live victoriously for Christ. And so Paul says, with that perspective in mind, we do not lose heart. Enkageo in Greek. Even in our affliction, we are not overwhelmed. We do not shrink back in fear. We do not act like faint-hearted cowards. But instead, we are strong in our faith in Christ Jesus. Even though our outer man, our physical body, is decaying. Diathyro in Greek. It is in the process of deteriorating. Well, that comes as no surprise to some of us, does it? We're just clay pots that show signs of wear and tear. We're just mortal flesh in the process of wasting away, a reality that is graphically pictured in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, where it says that we need to remember our Creator in the days of our youth, before the sunset of our lives comes upon us and it is difficult to function anymore. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the days are dreary and they are few. When there is more of life that is behind us than there is in front of us. Before the day when our arms and our hands, the watchmen of our house, the watchmen of our bodies, tremble and shake. Before the day when mighty men who were once strong and straight and tall stoop over, and our teeth, the grinding ones, stand idle because they are few. And our eyes, the windows of our soul, grow dim. We need to remember our Creator before our ears, the doors to the sound of the streets are shut. And it is difficult to hear anymore. And it is difficult to sleep, it says, because at night we rise up early in the morning at dawn to the sound of the birds that are singing. We need to remember our Creator before in the sunset of our years we fear the terrors that are all around us and our hair turns white and it falls to the ground and we drag around ourselves in frailty until at last death takes us to our eternal home and our bodies return to the dust while mourners go about in the streets. That's quite a picture, isn't it? It's quite a picture of the process of life. But, you know, we go through this aging process and sometimes we accelerate that process for a number of reasons, don't we? There are some of us who belong to Christ who work ourselves to death for him. Some of us may be persecuted and die for our faith. But I think it is better to burn out for him than to rust out in idleness and in indecision. As Paul said in Galatians 6:17, I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus, the scars of my suffering for him. And I wonder, where are our scars? Physical scars on our body? Perhaps scars within us that no one else can see. So even though our outer man, our physical bodies are deteriorating because of age and because of our suffering for Christ, yet Paul says, our inner man, our heart and our soul, our spirit that has been recreated in Christ, and that will live forever. That is what is being renewed. Anakinao in Greek. It is not deteriorating, but it is being made new day by day in Christ, strengthened with power through the Spirit of God who now lives within those of us who belong to Christ, it says in Ephesians chapter 3. Filled up with the fullness of Christ, the fullness of God. He fills us up with himself. So when we are weak and we're at the end of our resources, then we are in a place where we can be made spiritually strong in him. As we're reminded in Isaiah chapter 40, where it says he gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. So those who wait upon the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up as eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary and faint. When the difficulties of this life come upon us and they drive us to the Lord, then that is when we can experience his strength in our lives. We will experience spiritual endurance so we do not lose heart, Paul says. For though we are hard-pressed in every way, by comparison to what awaits us in eternity, Paul says these things are momentary. Parautika. in Greek, they're temporary. He says in verse 17, they're just for a moment of time. We might even say, as Paul has just said, that they are light afflictions, elaphras in Greek. They're easy to bear. They don't seem like they're easy to bear, do they? They seem intense. They are intense. But he says that because in this anguish and in this distress, there is something else going on. He said it's producing something in us. Kater gadsomai. It's accomplishing something for us. What is it accomplishing? He says it is an eternal weight of glory. Glory that will last forever. Glory that is far beyond all comparison, far above all things that we are experiencing in this life. Glory that we will give to Christ in eternity. As it says in Psalm 115, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to thy name give glory. So the scale tips in favor of eternity, because our great suffering for Christ in this life will give us a greater capacity to give glory and praise to him forever. That's a staggering thought, isn't it? That changes our perspective, doesn't it? Changes our perspective on suffering for Christ. Remember what two disciples of Jesus, they asked him if they could sit on his right hand and on his left hand in eternity. And what did he say to them? He told them that those places had been reserved. And they had been reserved for those who drink the cup of his suffering. Our suffering for Christ brings glory to us in eternity. Glory that we give back to him. No suffering, no glory. No glory to give to him. So through the tears, we do not lose sight of what awaits us in heaven. Again, the capacity to give glory to Christ according to the suffering that we have endured for him in this life. Perhaps that thought will change our perspective on what we suffer for Christ. It certainly seemed to change Paul's perspective, didn't it? So Paul tells us in verse 18, we do not look at the things that are around us. We don't look at all the difficulties that we face. We do not set our heart upon these things. Because the things which are seen, no matter how difficult they may be, are like a breath. They're like a vapor. They're here, and then they're gone. But instead, we focus our attention. We set our affection on the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, Paul says. Praskaras in Greek. They are for a season, and they will not last forever. But the things which are not seen, the things which are eternal, things which are about to be revealed, Paul says they are eternal and will last forever in the glory of heaven. And then, it says in Revelation chapter 7, then we will hunger no more. Neither will we thirst anymore. Neither will the sun beat down on us, nor any heat. For the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is at the center of the throne of God in heaven. He will be our shepherd, and he will guide us to springs of the water of life. And then God himself shall wipe away every tear from our eyes, and there will be no more pain, and there will be no more suffering forever and ever and ever. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.